Hello, everyone. Welcome to Financeology 101. Class is now in session. The information provided during this podcast is just that, information. You will need to do further research to address your specific situation. Enjoy the session.
Hello, I'm Robin. And my husband is Elroy.
Hello.
Welcome to Gifted Generations LLC Presents Financeology 101. The title of this session is Old Ways Won't Open New Doors, Paying Down Debt. And I'd like to welcome our resident financial coach, Tina Smith. Ms. Smith is the president of the Financial Tea Coaching and Consulting Firm and the author of It's Your Turn, Walk in Your Financial Purpose.
Yes.
Hello, Tina.
Hello, everyone. I'm so excited about today's topic, as I am with all topics. I'm just super excited to be able to share some nuggets with your listeners about this time, kind of how to make your money stretch for you even the more in just a different way this time, considering old habits and what we got to do to make sure that we're clear and free, from debt and other things. And then also maybe add in a couple things about how our stimulus, should catapult us to a different position. But yeah, I'm sure we'll get into all that.
Yes, we will. So let's tell the audience, as we always do, all about yourself.
All right. Tina Smith, if you haven't heard me before speak, I'm the president of the Financial Tea Coaching Consulting Firm, and yes, I am an author. I wrote the book called It's Your Turn, Walk in Your Financial Purpose. You can go right to our website, thefinancialtea.org. That is thefinancial, the letter T.org, where you can learn more about the Financial Tea's mission. You can learn more about my book and cop that. You can get your copies today. I'm a wife, a mom. I'm an Air Force retiree. Okay, that's enough about me right now. I want to get right into what we're talking about.
She ready for us, y'all. She's ready. All right. So we know out there a lot of ways to pay down debt.
Yep.
There's all sorts of ways. So tell me where somebody can start. I mean, how do they even get this going?
First of all, I think it's important to listen to the podcast that we've done together in the past, where we've talked about the importance of budgeting, the importance of saving. There's a lot of really, really, really good nuggets in those podcasts to set the foundation for what we're going to talk about tonight. But it is very important to learn your budget, as in learning what your income dollars are, what your outgoing dollars are. But then it's also important to establish a savings plan. Because what I find with most people before their clients, while their clients, that people spend so much time and so much money trying to reduce their debt, they negate their savings. And as they negate their savings and pay down their debt and emergencies come, they're revving up that same debt they've been desperately trying to pay down because they failed to save. That is step number two, in my opinion. But again, the podcasts that we've done together before really lay out the foundation and the hows and the whys behind, budgeting and then also saving. So that's really where to start. And then there's some different types of debt reduction things that you can do. And as we go into tonight, I'll talk about some ideas that I've shared, with my clients. Because they worked for me and what we've done in our home. And so I'll get into different kinds of debt reductions as the show goes on, if that's okay.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, if you want to go ahead and open up with that, give them the different types, you can go start there.
Excellent. So I would say one thing to consider is ask for, and I was sharing this information with some family members over the weekend, and they did not know that they could do this. So I figured this is where I'd start. ask for an interest rate reduction. There are some cases, especially with credit cards, there are some cases to where you might have gotten a credit card years ago. Your credit score might have gone up. You may not have even thought that the interest rate that you have mattered. It does. The reason why it matters is because the higher the interest rate, the more interest charges that you have. So your payment, there's a portion of every credit card payment, if it's not 0% APR, there's a portion of your credit card payment that goes directly to the interest and does not attack the principal at all. The lower that number is, means the lower your financial charges will be. And so I recognize interest rates have kind of been fluid over the last few months. So it may be a great time to call your credit card company and find out what the latest APR is and if you qualify for the lower rate. I've been said yes to before, but if I never asked, I would have never known. So I would start there.
So that goes for credit cards or anything that has an interest rate. You contact those providers and get the rate down so that you're paying more on the principal. Is that what you're saying?
Specifically on credit cards. Normally when you're talking about, so that's like a revolving credit situation. If you have like a credit loan, something that the payments are what they are from beginning to end, that may require a reconsolidation. But from a credit card standpoint, absolutely you can call your credit card company, find out if you qualify for the lower interest rate that they may have. And if they say yes, I mean, you're starting to cook the gas.
And I've also heard of people getting new credit cards with the lower rate and then rolling over the month. I mean, how does that work? They put them, pay off one credit card using another credit card with a lower rate, and that helps them with getting the debt down.
Yes, actually. And that's an excellent, excellent point. However, I would like to caveat that by saying if that is a strategy of yours, you have to be very careful. If the interest rate of the new credit card is zero for a prescribed number of months, let's say it's 12 months, then that new card's 0% is only 0% for those 12 months. After the 12 months, if you have any balance on that, you might be charged with the deferred finance charges. So let's say this. Oh. Let's say you have a credit card for $500 and you're getting a new credit card for zero so you can do a balance transfer. If I pay $490 over the next 12 months and then going into that next billing cycle at month 13 per se, the $10 that I still owe means that all the interest charges that would have been, it's deferred. And it shows that on a statement. It'll show deferred interest if not paid by quote unquote date. And so when you see that number, that is the deferred interest charges that will go onto your account if your account balance is not zero by then. So the trick that I use and that I have been using for years and years is if we do that, then instead of paying it off in 12 months, our plan is to pay it off in 10. That way there is a complete cycle of a zero balance because I want zero buffoonery when that new cycle comes up and they're like, oh, you owe 1 cent. Absolutely not. I caught all of that before. So I pay it off in 10 months. If there's interest charges or whatever that may occur, or I forgot that there was my Netflix or something charge that goes on there, I can catch it immediately during that last, you know, fluff month. And then on that 12th month, for sure, it's a zero balance. And so all those deferred interest charges, I have hereby escaped, and I played the game versus the game playing me.
Yeah, and also I found, and something that's even greater than that, what I have seen people do, they do just that. They get another card, get a 0% interest, pay it off. That does not mean that bank is going to say, they're going to close that car for you. They leave that up to you to close that car or not to touch it. I've seen people transfer a car over, and now they got one car that has zero and one that has a lower interest and they're paying for it, but that car that has zero, they tend to start using that card again. So there had to be some kind of discipline in the fact that if you have that second card and you transfer it over, know that you got to make sure that that card is put away, cut up, something that you don't get back in the same. But now you have two payments.
Right. So what I've done in the past also, when I've used that strategy, the moment that I get the new card of 0%, the only reason why I got it is so that I could pay it off faster and with less finance charges, if that makes sense. So as soon as I get that card, it's cut up. I have zero interest in you. You just have to be extremely careful that as you do these strategies, you don't fall back into the old habits in which the show is about tonight. You don't fall back into the old habits. The whole point is to start anew, is to make sure that as you press forward, that you press forward in a better way and not return to the old habits that got us into this trouble in the first place.
Wow. And you know we'll do it. We got a new car. We're going to use it.
Yeah, we just have to be careful.
We have a listener, Ms. Marcia, is asking, what about home equity loans?
Oh, wonderful. Hi, Marcia. What about them? So, how can I help?
She's typing a question. Says, "How? What about? I guess okay, great. What about them? I guess
getting them paid off, or how does?
Are
that
they work? Good, bad? What's your take on them? How you feel about getting them?
Okay. So here are some highlights. And while she may be clarifying the question, maybe some of these highlights may help answer before I'm understanding the complete question. So I just want to give her some time and just provide some nuggets in the meantime.
Can you get a lower interest rate?
Oh, that's a great question. Number one, because it's the kind of installment loan, you might not necessarily get a lower interest rate with who you're doing it with. However, there might be a refinance opportunity with another organization. So I will share my... I believe in 2016, I got a home equity loan. And it was 2017, if I'm not mistaken, to where I started to search on, you know, how I can get that interest lower, but then also how I can get my payments lower. Because if you get a home equity loan, depending upon how much you get, the payments could be a little steep and then the interest rate could be a little high. So I found that doing a home equity line of credit actually had a lower interest rate and the minimum payments were lower. But I say that, but then also want to provide a red flag here, because the minimum payment may, and when I say may, I mean may, just cover the interest. So what you may find is if you're not careful, the minimum payments may seem sexy, but you know, you might be paying it for 2 years. You're like, wait, why is my principal the exact same it was 2 years ago? And I've been making my minimum payments. So that's just something to, you know, just be aware of. And there is an opportunity for you to do that. Yes. So just search around and figure out, you know, what payment plans work best for you. But always make sure that you understand that the new payment might not cover, or it might barely rather cover just the interest or charges. So just be aware of that, and that way you can plan going forward.
Wow. That's a lot to learn about this.
Yeah. So maybe we need part two another time.
Yeah. You know, as the average consumer, we have to know a lot about a lot, don't we?
We do. And the unfortunate thing is we don't know what we don't know. And the second unfortunate thing is a lot of times we find out by making horrible mistakes. And if we're not careful, we can go down a very slippery slope with hot baby oil continuing to go down, you know, that 85 degree angle slide. So you just have to be super careful. You know, can you just imagine yourself going, you know, so you just have to be super careful. So you just have to, you know, remember back in the old days when the kids would actually go outside and play on those slides that I felt like was aluminum foil right out the oven. The suckers were so hot, right? And so, you know, and remember sometimes you would stop with your sneakers, you would stop sliding down. That's the imagery I see by making sure that you're super careful by, you know, using your sneakers to come to a complete halt to make sure that you're not going down that slippery slope. Because it's really easy if you don't really, you know, pause, do your due diligence and then go forward. But unfortunately, I see that a lot of people disregard the due diligence and just go forward and then go say, oops. Mm-hmm. So I'm here to prevent all the oops as much as possible.
So what else can they look at other than interest rates to help them start paying down that? What other tricks or tips you have for paying down?
Sure. So what I would recommend, and just a shameless plug, a lot of this information is also in my book, It's Your Turn, Walking Your Financial Purpose. Again, you can go right onto my website, thefinancialt.org. That is T-H-E-F-I-N-A-N-C-I-A-L, the letter T. .org. And my book talks about a couple of these things too. It talks about when to consolidate, when not to consolidate. It talks about why, you know, being disciplined is super duper duper important. Again, you know, not going down that slide with the hot baby oil, but, you know, using your sneakers to screech to make sure that you're doing what you need to do. But I would also say the first part of this, I believe, is actually seeing exactly where you are at when it comes to debt. And I think what we do is assume that paying off this thing over here is actually more important than this thing over here, when there might be different strategies on how to pay down your debt in a more efficient way. Anytime I talk about paying down debt efficiently, that means that we're lowering not only our interest rate, which also lower our interest charges, but then also lower our monthly payments. So we're trying to get the whole kit and caboodle to lower all these things. And so there are plenty of opportunities to do that. However, you just want to make sure that whatever move you decide to make, whether it be a refinancing of a car or home, consolidating debt, whether it be moving, you know, credit card balances from a higher interest rate to a lower interest rate card, the bottom line is that you want to make sure that your interest rate is lower than before, that therefore your interest charges are lower than before, but then also that your payments are lower. And so if the conditions are right, you know, those would be such opportunities, you know, for people to pay down their debt even more, which then goes right back to our budget conversation a few weeks ago concerning why it's important to lay down that budget and increase your incoming money. Not by going out and get another job, not even a side hustle, but by decreasing your outgoing dollars. And so that is where the keys really start.
So really, you need to thoroughly look at all your bills and everything. I mean, spread them out and come up with a strategy. Because like you said, you picking one thing over another, you have to encompass the whole picture.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, my financial coaches in our company, we specialize there too. And so Shamika and Kevin are, you know, debt experts on, you know, the fastest ways to pay down debt. And they really look at they help you look at the entire picture and are able to say, okay, have you thought about this? Well, if we do this, then these are the finance charges. What about this way? These finance charges are lower. You know, so being able to have somebody even look at that for you is also helpful. If you feel like you're just you looking at all these pieces of debt and you feel overwhelmed, the Financial Tea Coaching Consulting Firm is absolutely here to help you figure those things out. We can help you kind of see it from a different picture. Or even if you want a second opinion, you know, to say, hey, this is what I'm doing already. You know, is there anything else, you know, that maybe we could be doing, you know, specifically to my, you know, debt situation? We'd be very happy to give a second opinion too. So I just want to make sure that folks know that I'm not just out here spilling tea, that we're actually doing the dirty work on the daily, making sure clients understand and then also have a hand in, you know, getting their debt down, because it takes an active participant. You cannot be in the sidelines on the sidelines, rather, you know, yelling at your deck, go, and expect, you know, to move the football down the proverbial field. You have to be an active participant. You got to be, you know, coach, assistant coach, player, you know, defense, offense. You have to be able to play all sides of the ball. I'm a football girl, so bear with. But you have to be able to play all sides of the ball when it comes to playing, to paying your RUD. You have to get every angle humanly possible to make sure that you're doing this in the most efficient and effective way.
Wow. That's a lot of work. I mean, I'm just listening to you. It's like, my mind is like, it's just spinning. It's like, that's a lot to, and I can see why we would need people like you to help, because we, the average person is not going to look at their debt like that.
No, no.
They just going to see it bills like, let's pay this one off, then let's pay this one off. We have no real strategy. So we need financial mentors and financial coaches to help strategize this, because this is, just listening is overwhelming.
Well, go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
I also say a lot of times when people are looking at their budget and they do their own analysis, they tend to miss things that a strategist catches. And then when they catch it, it's not one way to do it. They can present several ways, and sometimes one way may not fit you, so they may say, well, how about this way?
Exactly.
Every not one fix going to work for everybody, but they have different fixes. And so when you use those kind of people, they have a different analogy when you're looking at your situation. And what I like about what Tina says before is that they also carry the weight when someone comes to them. They make it a we analogy, not a you analogy.
That's correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. And what I also find is that, you know, especially in a marital relationship, the two people might have very different views on debt. I see couples regularly that their views are exact opposites. And that doesn't mean that we can't come to a compromise and figure out the best way. But what we want to do is make sure that everybody gets some skin in the game and gets a choice on how to handle it. So take for instance, I'll just use me and my husband as an example. Let's say we've got 5 credit cards and they're all maxed out at $1,000 a piece, right? So we have a total of $5,000 worth of debt. Again, $1,000 per maxed out credit card. And you know, we've got credit card APRs ranging from 0 to 20%. My thought process is, let's pay the one that has the highest interest rate. My husband's thought process is, let's pay the one off first. We choose the one that we could pay off the fastest. So in his eyes, we can pay off the one that's 0% the fastest, because all of our payment goes directly to the principal. In my opinion, I think we need to, you know, all hands on deck, if you will, to the one that's 20% interest rate, because I recognize that the interest charges, you know, are going to, you know, continue to build up every month. So we just see it totally differently. And so it's a matter of, you know, having a third party come in and say, okay, I hear both of you, however, comma, you know, this is a way that we can do it that fits both your personalities and speed. You know, do you guys buy in on this? You know, excuse me. So there are absolutely different ways to do this. And I don't favor one way or the other, you know, for my clients. It's more so of what keeps you in the game. Because if I press the way that I like to do it and then tell you you're not the smartest person in the room and you don't do it the way that I think you should, then the minute that, you know, you don't see the results that you want, you're out. You're like, I'm giving up on this stuff. And then we're right back to the old stuff that we were doing previously. So it matters, you know, who's helping you look at your stuff. But, and it also matters the way that you look at your own, you know, debt, about, you know, what, how do you feel, you know, about doing this way or doing this that way? Because if you're discouraged quickly, I mean, you would really check out quite quickly. And we don't want to do that. We want to continue that motivation, but in a way to where the client, you know, can accept, you know, and manage expectations. So right. It really does matter.
Yeah, because you want them to succeed, so you want to make sure you choose the strategy that will put you on that path to success.
You absolutely do. And I don't want any of the clients that we have to give up on their dream of being debt free. Rome was not built in a day, and you didn't build, you know, your $5,000, I'm using that analogy that I used a little bit ago. You didn't, you know, run up a $5,000 credit card or five credit cards, you know, in a day either. So it's going to take time to get that back down. But, you know, like my book says, if you quit, you lose.
Yeah. And we don't want you to lose.
No.
You know, Marcy has a question.
Okay, great.
She has, or she's asking a prepaid credit card. They open up a prepaid credit card to establish credit. Should she close the card once she received the permanent card?
That's a great question. Most financial professionals would say absolutely not. And I'm one of those professionals that agree. Here's what I've seen and what I found. What I found is that when individuals have those credit building, you know, credit cards, they close it because they think they've arrived. But what ends up happening is that that decreases your credit score, or it stalls your credit score in a way to where you really can't get over that hump that you've been looking to get over for so long, thinking that paying this one credit card off and closing it, you're thinking, hooray, I've made it. And the creditors are like, oh, you closed it because you can't keep control of yourself. If you keep it open, that means that you're going to rev it up again. So not closing it actually keeps that line of credit open. Let's say it's $500. It keeps that line of credit open, but it also shows that because the balance is zero and continues at zero, and you may, you know, throw $10, $20 on it and pay it off or whatever, just kind of to keep it active, and that's fine. But the key is that you're showing discipline, that you can have a line of credit open without revving it back up. And so keeping it open actually is a benefit for you. So I would absolutely not close it now. I recognize and have been victim of this to where I've had a store card, let's say, and I hadn't used it in 2 years. They close it. That doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother my credit score. But the minute I close it, it shows creditors, you know, oh, if you keep it open, you lack control. And that may be the furthest from the truth. You might have just been like, well, you know, I don't need this credit card. I'm just going to go ahead and close it and, you know, just get out of my hair. Unfortunately, creditors don't see it the same way. So please, I would say keep it open and just, you know, cut it up or whatever. Don't use it if you feel like, you know, it's necessary, not, you know, it's not necessary to use it. But keep it open, and that way creditors can look at you more favorably. Because again, and I may have said this before, but and excuse me if I have and just said again, so I'll just back up. 65% or so of your credit score depends upon you paying on time, all the time, for a long period of time. That is majority of your credit score. And so with that being said, the longer that you keep this line of credit open, the better for you. Especially, you know, if you continue to make payments and it shows green on your credit report versus this, you know, big red X, if you will, on the minute that you're 30 days late.
Wow. I tell you what, my head is spinning.
I'm so sorry.
Not mine. And, you not know, mine. Keep it coming. My head is on tight. That's keep it coming. I love it.
It's like I'm trying to write notes like, okay, I got to do this and then I got to do that.
I'm good. I'm absorbing all this. I'm absorbing all this.
And you know, I try to keep it real simple, you know, just to make sure that, you know, the information is absorbed very easily. And, you know, a listener could say, okay, I'm going to take that info and then I'm going to use that, you know, going forward. So if I can keep my nuggets, you know, small and digestible, that's what we want to do. So, Robert, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to give you a T-bone tonight. Okay.
Look, I'm a T-bone kind of guy, so go ahead and give it to me.
I was just playing because, like I said before, it's the whole picture. You got to look at the entire picture. And that's something I didn't think about. Like you said, that I would tend to think, okay, let's take this bill, pay this one off. Let's take this one. But instead of spreading them out and coming up with a whole strategy, is the key here. You got to come up with a whole strategy. So
absolutely. Yeah. And it's so important. Yeah. And I don't want anybody to feel as if, you know, they can't overcome. They absolutely can overcome. It's just, you know, how do you want to do it? But I would highly recommend if this topic is your jam and you like, I need to get out of debt, you know, please feel free to connect with us right on our website, just like I said earlier. And you can, you know, get with one of us and we'll be able to walk you through at least a free consultation. And maybe we might drop some nuggets to kind of, you know, put you on the right track. But if you feel like, you know, we're a good fit for you and you want us to, you know, walk you through the process over a 3, 6, or 12 month period, we'd be happy to, you know, give you that coaching and help you and also celebrate with you when you're successful. And that's the funnest part of what we do is we celebrate with you.
That's a true investment. Working with Tina and her group would be a true investment in your financial future because having someone that's a professional and know exactly what they're looking at to help you is definitely worth it. So I would say definitely contact Tina because she can show you things that you're not even thinking of. So another thing I was going I wanted to mention was emergency fund.
Oh yes, of course.
So we're talking about paying down debt, but you have to have an emergency fund as well. So tell people, give them the definition of what an emergency fund is and what it's used for, and then let's go from there.
Okay, great, great. So let's start from the basics. Any financial professional, me included, would tell you that an emergency fund is for emergencies. Now, that does not mean, oh, my homegirls are going to Acapulco next week and they... Not an emergency.
It's not.
Or, no. Or, oh, my friends are going out on, you know, to a day party and, you know, it's $500 to get in or whatever, you know, and, you know, they have room for me. Not an emergency. No. Emergency to a financial professional and to actually most people, really, in all jokes aside, it helps handle situations in which they were absolutely unexpected. Take, for instance, if you are a homeowner, you know, if our water heater went out the day before Christmas. Believe it. Oh my gosh. So our water heater went out the day before Christmas. And when you're a homeowner, that's on you. I mean, you can't call, you know, the landlord or say, hey, this is happening, you know, it's on you. And so, you know, paying for, you know, our favorite plumber to come and, you know, get everything situated with us. And I'm very happy that he was in town and it was able to, you know, help us out, you know, having to write that check to him, giving him the check and, you know, he can go on, he could walk to the bank right then and cash it, you know, was a relief to us that the situation was over. And then, so I didn't have to, you know, kind of, you know, clutch my pearls when I saw my credit card, you know, bill come back and say, oh my goodness, the interest charges on this bill is just, oh my goodness. So that is the kind of thing that, you know, an emergency is to me, maybe even a flat tire or, you know, car trouble of you know, that kind of sense. Maybe even a deductible, you know, to where you maybe got in a car accident or something and maybe your deductible is $1,000, $500, $250, whatever it is, you need to come out of the pocket with that first $250 or $500 or $1,000, depending upon what the deductible is. So having those dollars on hand just, you know, allows the ball to get in motion with momentum. And so majority of us financial professionals will tell you 3 to 6 months worth of expenses, you know, maybe your rent or mortgage, your utility bills, things of that nature. And that way, if things happen, when things happen, you know, you have enough money to deal with whatever you need to deal with. And also an added emergency, I would say, look at what's happened with Corona. Businesses have completely closed. People have lost their jobs. So, you know, I like to liken this to one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, where it talks about Joseph interpreted a dream for the king, for the Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were 7 great years and 7 years that were to come that was not going to be good. But the key was to store up during those good times. Mm-hmm. And so I always talk about that, because when I wrote my book, It's Your Turn, Walk in Your Financial Purpose, again, you can go right on my website, thefinancialtea.org, and order your copies today. But when I wrote that book in 2018, I was thinking about when in 2013, when I left the military, I was working at an organization that was very highly populated with civilians. So it wasn't, you know, me and a whole bunch of military folks, it was a lot of civilians. And during that 2018 year, I believe it was summertime, there was sequestration. Now, this is something I had never heard of before, but it happened in 2013. And I'm like, so wait, you know, I'm looking around like, wait, we're not getting paid? What's going on? And so people were, you know, in a panic. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful that the military, you know, they ended up, you know, paying us. And then also the banks that were affiliated with the military says, okay, people in the military, we will front you until they work this out, but you don't worry about your paychecks. We will front you kind of what you've been getting paid. But the civilian sector didn't always have that backup, mm-hmm. if you will, and especially from the contractor side. So when I say contractor, what I mean is companies and positions that are funded or paid to help the government, you know, get the mission done and whatnot. And so those individuals didn't get a back pay. So not only were they not getting paid at all during the sequestration, like the civilian sector was within the federal government, at least the federal government, they got their back pay, but kind of after the fact. But the folks in the contracting sector did not. So when I wrote this book, my thoughts were on that, not knowing that just a few months later, after my book was published, the federal government was shut down right during Christmas. I had no idea that was going to happen when this book was released in 2018. And I talk about that. I talk about the importance of not depending upon your job to just be there at all times. Mm-hmm. About the importance, though, about while the getting's good, put some money away. So as things happen, and they will, it's not a matter of if, but when they happen, you're prepared. So you saw on the news all the desperation and the straw and despair about people getting put out and whatnot. And I'm like, Lord, I just wrote this book published 5 months ago, and talked about this very situation that I had no idea would happen right soon after, you know, I published the book. But then there has been, you know, now there's COVID. So there's always something that's going to happen. It's just a matter of making sure that as the times are good, you want to put money away. And again, normally 3 to 6 months, I would say in the area that I live in, which is the Washington, D.C. area, or what we call the DMV, 6 to 12 months, because sometimes it takes that long to get back into a job here, because a lot of times you have to deal with a security clearance situation, which could take a lengthy amount of time. And so if you're not working, how are you paying your bills? And so it's so important to, you know, have that emergency fund established. So thank you for bringing that up. And now when it comes to debt, having that emergency fund is super important, because if you're trying to debt reduce, you don't want to use the very debt that you're trying to reduce to get you out of the next emergency.
Right.
Makes sense, right? So it's a matter of making sure that you've got your money, your liquid cash, and, you know, I'm talking about putting money in a bank account, putting that to the side, and then making sure that as the emergencies come, you are prepared and you don't have to worry about putting, you know, those charges on, you know, that credit card that you felt like you either just paid off or you're working so hard to get paid off. And then you quit because now you're not motivated anymore. Your speed bump came and you're like, I'm out, because I cannot, quote unquote, ever get out of this situation. And it could feel like insurmountable. So highly encourage having an emergency savings and get that started, you know, first, like I alluded to earlier, to make sure that as you debt reduce, you're going to be successful, and we want you to be successful.
Elroy and I read an article back when the government shut down in 2018. where mm-hmm. a lot of federal employees use their retirement money to, so they tap into their retirement money to sustain themselves. And it's like, and I mean, it was billions of dollars mm-hmm. that they yes. tapped into the, so they didn't even have the money to make it through the time frame of the shutdown. They all, billions of dollars had to be taken out for federal employees.
It was actually $143 million that was used within the first 2 weeks of the shutdown. So basically, they got paid on a Friday, and before the next paycheck was even missed, they had already taken out $143 million. Mm-hmm. So it was just letting you know there was no preparation beyond 2 weeks. Because otherwise, you just wow. say, well, let me wait 30 more days before I do
no.
anything.
I will pinpoint that even further for you.
Come on.
And I'm pausing on purpose. I'm gonna give you 5 more seconds. Now, everybody listen up. Everybody in this situation that you're speaking of was literally one paycheck away. Literally. Because think about it, you get paid every 2 weeks. You get paid, I mean, especially from a federal government standpoint, you get paid literally every other Friday. One paycheck away from losing it all. One. And I don't want anybody under the sound of my voice to have that kind of anxiety over their head. You know, I want everybody under the sound of my voice to think about if that next paycheck was skipped, somehow the Treasury, you know, forgot to pay you, you know. How does that look for your finances going forward? How would you make it over the next 2 weeks without that next check? Mm-hmm. And if you feel kind of an anxiety that's like, oh my goodness, how would I do it? I want you to do everything that you can over the next 2 weeks to figure out what can you put to the side to make sure that that's not you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I try to run my house like a business, you know, like, you know, yeah. I try to make sure, you know, we do our household income, you know, just like a business, operational costs, you know, have something in the storage. So when something goes wrong, mm-hmm. it's already there for you. So even though it's your household finances, if you run it like a business, you know, how business is going to project, you know, issues and problems, you know, you won't have those shortcomings. But if you run just like, you know, Joe Blow, you're going to always be, you know, those shortcomings and run into those issues. You know, so for me, the way I do our income, our finances and stuff, I run like a business to make sure mm-hmm. it's paid for in advance. You know, we have money when something happens. You know, we're planning down the road for emergencies. If we're going to go on a trip in a year, we already putting money away for that. I'm trying mm-hmm. to project as far out as I can. So I may not hit that goal of paying that whole trip off, but I'm going to be 89.9% there.
Hey, but you can put something on it. You can put something right, on it, right. And I'm exactly, cool with that.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good
okay,
stuff.
Okay, so here's our point where we give my little takeaways.
Yes. Okay. I enjoy your takeaways, Robin. Go ahead with it.
Learn your budget. Have a savings plan. Look at the big picture of your finances. Get help with the strategy. Contact Tina and her team.
We're here.
Interest rate. Try to reduce the interest rate on credit cards and loans and like that. That'll help you save. And definitely have an emergency fund.
Yes.
Your credit card is not your emergency fund.
And neither is overdraft protection. It's not, I'm sorry, it's not, it is not a savings. It isn't. The unfortunate thing is it happens a whole lot to regular people. And if that's you, I just encourage you to really take a strong look at your finances and consider things that you're spending money on frivolously to keep you in that hole. So you're going to have to, you know, really consider some hard choices to get you out of that hole. But, you know, that's just as bad as having credit card debt, because think about it. Every time your paycheck hits, you're already starting less than what you earned. So if you earn $2,000 for those 2 weeks, when it hits your account, take away that overdraft immediately. But you worked hard for that $2,000. And I want you to be able to use it in an effective way. So coming in out the gate in the negative does not help you. And it keeps you in a vicious, horrible cycle. And so, you know, make some hard choices, but you can do it.
So you need to stay focused, be determined, and stay on that path, because it's one step at a time, one step at a time.
Yep. And again, if you quit, you lose. That's a promise.
Oh, definitely. You got to want it bad enough to stay in the fight.
Yep.
And you'll be happy in the end when you've done well and you have your emergency fund and you're paying bills down. It's a good feeling. It's hard to get there, but once you get there, it's a good feeling.
Yes. I promise you it is. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, from me and my family, I'm thankful that we're in a place to where, you know, we are debt-free. House will be included in that in a few weeks here. But I'm really excited about, you know, being totally and completely free. And I'll think about you and your situation, you know, whoever you are and the sound of my voice. What would you do without that car payment? Or that credit card payment, or that mortgage payment? What would you do with that kind of money? How could you use that towards your purpose, towards opening your own business, toward leaving wealth to your children, toward adding more to, you know, your 401k plan or other, you know, long-term savings? Mm. You know, what could that really do for you and your future? What about retirement with no financial worry? Period. You know, that's the why, you know, behind what I do, not only in my personal life and why I strive so hard and why me and my husband both work together to do that, but then why I teach others, because there's so much freedom in that. So Robin, before you ask me, I'm gonna go ahead and jump into the stimulus thing. Listen, listen to me. This stimulus, and I'm being real when I say this, and I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be political one way or another. But the stimulus is given to us so that we can recycle that back into the economy. I understand that. However, if there is a way for you not to recycle that back into the economy, like put that towards bills or anything like that, if it's possible, allow that stimulus check to start being the foundation for your emergency savings. Consider that. Mm-hmm. That's one of the places I always, always, always consider tax returns. And now I can include stimulus checks. Always look at that first. Look at that. Look at those extra dollars as money that you could put in your savings to say, now I've got some breathing room. Now, maybe, you know, depending upon how much your stimulus gets, or stimulus is rather, that could be 1-3 months worth of expenses. And, you know, just as an FYI, in case you don't know, the stimulus is going to be $1,400 for a household in which, if you're single, earned $70,000 or less. And then if you're married, earned $150,000 or less. And then if you're head of household, as in you are a single parent with children, I believe it's $112,500 or less that you earned. Now, if you made more than that, there's a limit of how much you can make, you know, you may get less than the $1,400. So every $100 that you earn more than those thresholds that I just named, up into a particular amount, and you can always, you know, Actually, I just put a Facebook. No. I sent my newsletter out to my subscribers. So you can also go to my website and subscribe to my newsletter. It has some good juicy tea, hot and sweet, being spilled on that thing. But my newsletter talks about, you know, what the stimulus, you know, parameters are and whatnot. But again, under those thresholds that we talked about, you can get, you know, up to $1,400. And that also is $1,400 per person, including dependents, regardless of age.
Wow.
So think about that. So if you're a family of three, so it may be you as a single parent, two kids, it may be a married couple and one child. That's $4,200 that may be pending in your bank account right now. How many months would you say that could, you know, be a base for your emergency fund?
Right.
So, you know, maybe that $4,200 is your rent of $1,500. Your utilities, that may be another $500. So we're up to $2,000 right there. Let's say a car note, which is say another $400, let's be fair. So we're at $2,400. You know, you're already with the stimulus, if you keep that, that's at least one and a half months of your expenses right there, and allow that to start building. And you continue to just save a little bit every month and watch that money grow. Okay, I've said enough about that. But I wanted to encourage folks to consider, instead of throwing it on a bill or instead of going out and buy a bunch of stuff, consider keeping that in your savings and allow that to start being the foundation to your emergency savings.
And the key to a lot of this is have a strategy up front. Mm-hmm. Already have it planned up front. That way, when the money comes in, you already have a plan. A lot of times we don't plan, we don't have a strategy. And the money comes, and so we do whatever the first thing come in our mind.
Right.
Have a strategy,
exactly.
A plan,
yep.
Up front. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, we're at The Financial Tea. You might have seen some posts late last week about making sure you talk to us first, so that as you get this money, you're doing the best things with it for you and your family. That way it's not gone and you didn't know where it went, you know, and then you're having an opportunity to say, okay, I have a plan for this. I know it's either going to go here, 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 and here. Here's why. And I'm glad that that's the plan, because it's going to alleviate X, Y, or Z. So yeah, we'd be happy to give you a 30-minute consultation on the best way to handle your stimulus, because we want the stimulus to stimulate you and your finances, not necessarily the economy, if that makes sense. at least consider you first before you start, you know, putting the money in someone else's hands. I want you to be able to have that in your hands first.
Awesome.
I think I heard someone say, it might have been Elroy, pay yourself first.
Period.
Pay yourself first. The credit cards, they get their money. Pay yourself first.
And yes.
What I mean by that is your savings. Paying yourself is putting your money in a savings.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 100%. Yes, absolutely.
She's been listening to me.
Well, this was a wonderful session.
Yes,
as
I'm
always.
So glad. Yes.
Thank you so much, Miss Tina. If you want to give out your social media information.
Yes, absolutely. You can always follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. On Facebook and Twitter, we are at The Financial Tea. I had to think about that. Sorry. We are at The Financial Tea. That is at TheFinancial, the letter T. And then on Instagram, we are at The_Financial_T. You can also look us up on YouTube. We've got all kinds of neat videos and tips and nuggets and tea spilling all over the place about, you know, the importance of managing money. And then also, you can always go to our website, which is thefinancialt.org. That is thefinancial, where you can schedule meeting with a financial coach as a complimentary consultation. But then also there's areas where you can subscribe to our newsletter, and we publish the Tidbit Times on a monthly basis. And so the stimulus edition just went out, I believe it was on Friday. And so again, we are here, we're available. We want to be able to provide you with some nuggets to go forth, you know, on your financial journey. And then also let you know that we are here to be able to help coach you along your financial journey, specifically to your numbers, and be able to help you get all the financial freedom that you want based on your terms. And we want to be able to help you get there.
Well, thank you so much. Now, Mr. Seegers, can you give Gifted Generations social media information?
Yes, I can. First of all, I just subscribed to your newsletter, came in, and I just confirmed it. So now I'm part of that organization, so I can get information. So thank you for that. So for Gifted Generations LLC, we can be found on Facebook at Gifted Gen LLC. We're also going to be found on Instagram at gift.gen, and on YouTube, just click in the search bar and type in Gifted Generations LLC. And our website, which we also have the podcast that has, you can be follow the podcast from the website or Podbean. Our website is giftedgenerations-llc.com. And as Robin and I always say, we say what, Robin?
Don't forget the dash.
Hey, I have a quick question. And in case the listeners want to share our discussion, when do you expect for this particular episode to go out to the masses? And then, you know, the folks that listened in tonight who thought this was great information, be able to share it with their social media.
This will be posted Wednesday morning around 6:30.
Excellent. Excellent. So listeners, make sure you guys peep the social media to see when this drops. Because if folks weren't here tonight, you know, like I think what is it, the Washington Post? If you don't get it, you don't get it. Listen, when this hits the streets, share. We want to make sure that everybody gets this good information. These wonderful hosts are doing, you know, great job of making sure that folks get the nuggets and the tidbits that they need in order to go forward financially. And so please share this great information, and then invite your friends to join us. At least I'll be here in 2 weeks, but I mean, these folks are on every week. So, I mean, yeah, invite your friends. Let's just have a financial conversation. Let's have the conversation.
I love that.
Yeah. And Tina's right. That's something I think I tend to forget, is to tell you guys that every Wednesday, 6:30 in the morning, there's a new podcast posted from Gifted Generations, Financiology 101. So every Wednesday at 6:30 a.m.
I have an awesome media team. I mean, she does a great job on editing these things. That's my lovely wife, Robin. She has multiple jobs.
Thank you. Many hats. I know Tina knows that. She wears many hats. We have to wear many hats.
It is what it is.
That's right. You got to make it happen, right? Thank you, Tina, so much.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you. I look forward to talking to you every other week.
Yes, I'll be right here.
Keep us informed, and I'm so thankful for that.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you all for joining.
All right.
Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Financiology 101. I hope you enjoyed this session and the information provided will assist you on your financial journey. Until next time, be financially engaged.